we're there. Amen. The book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 57 says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto them, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And so he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Verse 61 says, And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Verse 62 says, And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we come this morning as humble as we know how, thanking you for bringing us to this sacred place. Lord God, thanking you for giving us a word on today. Lord God, forgive us for the many sins that we committed that we knew of, and Lord God, those that we knew not. Lord God, I pray right now, Lord, if I'm too high, that you would lower me. Lord, but if I'm too low, Lord, lift me up and put me on the plane that you would have me to speak on today. Lord, hide me behind your cross and dip me down into the treasures of your word. Lord, that I may speak something that may help someone today. Lord God, we just thank you for Orange Chapel. We thank you for all those who are gathered here. Lord God, just send your angels down in this place. Lord, send your divine Holy Spirit, Lord, to just touch each and every one of us. Lord God, we just thank you today. Lord, we thank you for what our eyes have seen and what our ears have heard to this point. But Lord, we ask you right now to take us just a little bit higher. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about, if y'all give me a few minutes, what Jesus said about casual Christianity. I want to tell you what Jesus said about casual Christianity. Y'all going to roll with me this morning? My brothers and sisters, as we look, amen, into this sacred book, we'll find stories, and we will find words that are written for you and I. We try our best to pattern our lifestyles after what God tells us we need to in the Word of God. Amen? We know that these words that are written are inspired by God. Amen? And I believe every word is written in this book. I'm just crazy enough to believe. I don't believe every word is in the newspaper. I don't believe anything that's in the National Enquirer. I don't believe what's on TMZ. But I believe what's in this Word of God. Amen? What Jesus said about casual Christianity. Some of us have been in church so long that we have simply become comfortable. We sit in the same seat every Sunday. Some of us even park in the same spot. Amen. Says McGuire, said, when I can. And when somebody's in your spot, you kind of, you're a little bit off today because you're on the other side of the church. Many Christians seem to just drift along. Many Christians, they just drift along. Yeah, I'm saved and I'm sanctified, and I'm really all you filled? What you filled with? A lot of drifters. Jesus encountered drifters along his way. On his way to the cross, his 3 years in ministry, he encountered drifters. Amen. It's sad to say this morning, but I believe we may have a few drifters in the house. I didn't come to fuss at y'all this morning, but I want to help somebody. Amen. Jesus didn't seem to have too much patience for drifters either. When you look at what he says in his word, He taught us a little something about this subject in the book of chapter 9, in the book of Luke, beginning at verse 57. Came into contact with some people that wanted to follow him. People that wanted to minister with him. People that wanted to be disciples. And what we have to understand is, they're two different types of people. They're just regular, same old, everyday Christians. There's some people just in the boat that ain't doing nothing. There's some people that's on the boat that are doing something on the boat. Amen? I would venture to call myself a disciple of Christ. I'm out trying to teach and tell and about the goodness of the Lord. Everybody's not doing what I'm doing, but those of us who want to do, that aspire to be a disciple for Christ, you can't be a drifter. You can't just casually do church. The reason why our Sunday school is not doesn't look like this is because we're just drifting. The reason why Wednesday night Bible study looks the way it looks is because some of us are just simply drifting. The reason why that some of us won't even open our mouths and sing is because some of us are just simply drifting. I'm not fussing today. I want to help somebody. I was really convicted the other night when I saw all the effort that was put into the Relay for Life. All the effort, all the hard work that it took, amen, to put together an event like that. Where you put an event together and you have hundreds of people that show up. All creeds and colors, all walks of life, children, middle-aged, older people. Amen. Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic, non-believers. They put this great event together. It took some commitment, Molly. It took some commitment from somebody in order to make that a successful day, a successful night. Now, I tell y'all everything that I preach, I'm looking at the man in the mirror because the Lord whooped me about something. Our very own Minister Smith was a part of the Relay for Life. Our very own Layla, amen, was diagnosed with cancer, and God worked a miracle in her life. Amen. And she's okay now. She's cancer free right now. Hallelujah, somebody. It took some committed prayers. It took a committed mother to her daughter to tell her. The doctors didn't even know what was going on, but she said, something is just not right with my baby. A committed mother that knew her child. Let me explain something to you, my brothers and sisters. We serve a committed God. And Jesus is watching us all day, every day. And he knows when there's something going on with us. But I want to talk about commitment for a minute. I noticed as the night wore on, the crowd began to get smaller and smaller. The commitment was 12 hours. But some folks left after 2 hours. Molly was still dancing and still on the microphone doing her thing, trying to keep the party alive. Folks began to pack up their chairs and their coolers. Some folks, before it even came out, some folks didn't even show up because it was too hot. Orange Chapel, some of you didn't want to sing at 7 o'clock because it sure is hot past in these black shirts. Casual Christianity, a casual Christian. Hallelujah, somebody. When it's time to sacrifice, a casual Christian to throw up the deuces. Peace to you. We'll holler at you next time. A casual Christian, when you find out that the air conditioner is not blowing on this side, you might move to the other side because you want to be comfortable. But in this Christian journey, my brothers and sisters, it's not always about being comfortable. Minister Smith, I'm so proud to have a woman of God like this in our church, because I'm going to be honest with y'all. I would have left way before I left had it not been for her. But I still didn't live out the commitment. I could tell that Deacon Smith, and I never seen Deacon Smith uncomfortable. I got to say it, Deacon. But our very own Deacon Smith was ready to go. But mama kept on walking. She said, we committed. It's 12 hours. We committed to 12 hours. We need to be here 12 hours. casual Christianity. See, and I tell you what, you know, when you have somebody on your team that's pushing you, you know, you'll go that extra mile. But look what happened to me. I heard everything she was saying. But Pastor waited till she hit the track. About 3 o'clock that morning, I left at 3 o'clock and I felt good about myself. But you know what? The commitment was 7 o'clock. I was 4 hours short. As soon as she hit that track, y'all know what y'all's pastor did? Candy. He's sleepy. She tired. Dog tired. Come on, baby, let's go. I didn't tell nobody bye. I grabbed my blankets, my chairs, my little cooler. I left my chips because I felt bad because I was finna take my chips. And Tamika said, Pastor, what you gonna do with them chips? And I left my offering and we walked on to the car. But let me tell you, an all-seeing God will see you. Guess what? I looked on the internet and there was a photo of me and Candy and Angelie and my little niece Kais leaving. I thought I got away. I was casual about my attendance. And my brother says, I didn't meet the mark. I could shut it down right here. How committed are we? How committed are we to the service of God? Good question. I'm glad you asked. There was an outrageous direction that Christ took here. In Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 57. There was a real life person right here in verse 57. Look at your Bibles. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 and verse 58. You know what Jesus told this fellow right here? And it came to pass that a man, that as they went the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you whatsoever thou goest. And then Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. You know what Jesus told his fella? He said, put your house up for sale, because I don't have anywhere to live. If we want to follow Christ, y'all, we got to sacrifice sometimes. If we really want to follow Christ, now you can be in the house and just chill. But if you really want to follow Christ, you got to give up some stuff. Amen? This was a willing scribe, my brothers and sisters, that wanted to follow Christ. But there was an issue. The real issue is there's too much comfortability in Christianity. It's all right as long as we can be comfortable. Why do you think our churches are segregated? Because it's comfortable sitting by a brother that looks just like me. It's comfortable sitting by a sister that looks just like me. It's comfortable going to a church that sings the same type of music I like listening to. But it's all geared toward Christ. Amen? The example that Jesus gave him was his lodging, where he lived. Anybody, do you ever hear where Jesus lived? He said right here that he had nowhere to lay his head. And guess what, my brother? Some of us worry about that so much where we miss out. Some of y'all have stayed home on Sunday morning because I got to clean my house. But the man who gave his life for you had nowhere to live. But he depended on his Father to take care of everything. Where is your faith? Hallelujah, somebody. My brothers and sisters, the real life challenge here, when we look at this particular passage of scripture, verse 57 and verse 58, is to live with a proper motivation. We've got to live with proper motivation, and our motivation should be to do what the Lord says do. Amen? Are y'all rolling with me? And guess what, Christians? We have to live with material detachment. Some of us can't serve God because we worried about stuff. Well, I don't have no offering, and I but you got a new car. I don't have any offering because you're worried about money. Oh, some folks buy a new car. They buy a brand new car and don't come to church because they got to clean the car up on Sunday morning. I didn't want to drive a dirty car to church. I had to clean my car. That's what Jesus said about casual Christianity. He said, look, brother, I don't have anywhere to live. And you're going to have to give up some stuff. Amen? Are y'all still with me? Can we move down a little bit? Because I like to preach the Bible. I don't like to make stuff up. Next scenario, verse 59. And he said unto another. Here's another fellow wanting to follow Jesus. He said, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. What did Jesus say? Lord, have mercy. Jesus? Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. I love Jesus. It's good this fella knew who Jesus really was. Because if somebody told me, if I told him Ray is dead, and I want to go bury my daddy, and they told me, let the dead bury the dead, how many of y'all would Jesus have had a fight on his hands? Thank you for being honest, Amber. I love my daddy. Don't you be talking about my mama. She dead, sleeping in her. Y'all know how we act over mama. How many of y'all couldn't play mama jokes? Ooh, a whole bunch of y'all. Y'all didn't sit around and play mama. I don't play mama jokes, man. Don't come to me. But look at the challenge here. The real life person is a recruited disciple. They said, Jesus said, follow me. So when Jesus says follow, that means follow me and do what I do, say what I say. Teach what I teach, preach what I preach. Ooh, I'm going to get done early this morning. But he wanted to stay at home until his father died because he knew his father, amen, he wanted to bury his daddy, right? The real life issue, my brothers and sisters, is that too many shallow-hearted Christians that only think about our situation. Y'all know some of us, it's all good until you say something about one of our family members in the church. It's all good. I remember who Jesus is till you mess with my little brother. You say something about my brother, Jesus, Bible, microphone, everything gone. We ready to cross that line. Y'all know how we are about family. Some are worse than others. Amen. Oh, no, don't you get smart with my mama. Y'all know how many times I heard that in the church? Don't get smart with my wife. Really? It's all about Christ. We focusing on him. We don't get into those type of altercations, right? Look at this. The issue is that the real life example is Jesus, his family. Look here. Somebody turn over to Luke chapter 8. Chapter 8 and I believe let's look at verse 19 through 21. Then came to him his mother and his brethren and could not come at him for the press. A lot of folks around him. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. So Jesus' folks are out here. And he said, wait a minute, Jesus. Your folks want to see you. But look what Jesus said. But see, we want to make this thing so personal and so fleshly. Look what Jesus said in verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brother are these which hear the word of God. Uh-oh. And do it. Did you see that? So guess what? You ought to be, amen, just as close to me as you are your own people. Amen. If you're doing the will of God, doing the word of God. Amen. And the challenge here is for us as Christians to live with the power of personal devotion and to live with a sense of kingdom urgency. We got to put God's work ahead of our family. We have to put following Christ ahead of our brothers and our sisters. Amen. We have to put following Jesus in front of everything. But you know what? We will let so much stuff distract us. Amen? I almost let the fact that it's hot in here distract me this morning. God, the Satan will use the very people that are closest to you to hinder where you're trying to go. Y'all remember when my son had that car wreck? What Satan wanted me to do was stay at home and look at him. There was nothing I could do with Khalil. The nurses and the doctors had done all they could do. They had sent him home, stitched him up, gave him some medication. Hey, man, we tried to clean him up the best we could. What kind of testimony would I have if something tragic happened in my family and then I just lay down on God? Amen? How could I stand up here when you're going through things in your life and I tell you, it's going, Lord, we'll make a way somehow. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. But when it happened in my life, I freaked out. How can I be an example? How can I stand here and preach and teach when I'm not even doing what the words say do? Amen? Can we keep moving? We see here that in verse 61, we're back in chapter 9, verse 61 and verse 62. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell, which are at home at my house. And what did Jesus say in verse 62? And Jesus said unto them, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom. See, that? That's why I was so impressed with Minister Smith the other night, because she had committed to the Relay for Life. She had worked all day long, 8 hours. People coming in, people calling, complaining. But she said, I signed up for it. We signed up to follow him, my brothers and sisters, and there are going to be things that are going to pop up. Amen? And we got to make sure that we stay focused on Christ. Amen? The person here was an anonymous volunteer. That's who we're dealing with. Amen? The issue is too much divided focus with Christians. Some of us can't concentrate this morning on the word because you're worried about your boyfriend. You're worried about your girlfriend. You're worried about what people are going to say about you being at the OC, hoping nobody sees your car this morning, parked at Orange Chapel. Some of you are worried about your bills this morning, but stay focused on Christ and he'll take care of that stuff. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom. Hallelujah, somebody. Of heaven and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why don't we just stand on that? Because if we seek him first, then everything is going to be all right. Oh, I'm preaching. I'm waiting on y'all to come on with me. Somebody say amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I said it wasn't going to be no cartwheels, but I feel some cartwheels in my spirit this morning. Because I don't want to be a casual Christian. See, some of us casually went about the Relay for Life. A lot of people casually went about that. But you know what? If everybody had been committed, that 400 that were there at 8 o'clock would have been there at 7 o'clock the next morning. Oh, when Jesus comes back, I want to be standing waiting on him. I don't want to be surprised by the coming of Christ because I know he's coming back, Tony. Jesus told him, don't tell your family goodbye. But see, let's look at Jesus' determination. And we have to have determination in our walk. Somebody move up to, look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Somebody, I'll read it. Verse 51 says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly, did y'all see that? Set his face to go to Jerusalem. See, my brothers and sisters, we got to set our face to go to heaven. Amen. We have to start moving in that direction. And when his time had come, Jesus said, you know what? It's time to go. And a man that takes hold to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. So my brothers and sisters, we better keep marching forward. Amen? Amen. It's time out for casual Christianity. It's time to be committed. Amen. God blesses you 24 hours a day, but we can't stay in church an hour and a half. Y'all better pray with me this morning. My brothers and sisters, we must live without indecision or procrastination when it comes to Christ. Some of us say, oh, I'm going to church next week. Oh, I'm going to get my life right next month. I got a few things I need to work out. As soon as I get right, I'll be there. Soon as my car, soon as I get my brakes fixed on my car, I'm going to come down there. But we have to have a sense of urgency about serving God. Amen? And my brothers and sisters, we have to live without looking back. Some of us are going to miss out on tomorrow by looking back on yesterday. Amen. It's time to move forward in this thing. It's time to grow up. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? The casual Christianity test, my brothers and sisters, is, are you willing to give up everything and put Christ ahead of everything and everyone to follow him right now indefinitely? Have you really made that choice to follow him all the way, to go all the way with the Lord? I will trust in the Lord. I will trust. Will you really? Do you really trust in him? Are you really following him? Are you really doing all that you can do? What does the commercial say about the army? Be all you can be. And then the other one says, we do more by, who is that? We do more by 9 o'clock than most people do all day. Is it the Marines? I don't know which one it is. Y'all remember that commercial? We, as Christians, my brothers and sisters, have to commit to the work of Christ. Amen. When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When was the last time that you invited somebody to church? You invited them to parties? You invite them to the club? Wobble with it, wobble. Yeah. You want to line dance with it, but when was the last time you grabbed your friend by the hand and lined up at the altar? Because you know what they're going through, and you are too. Because y'all inbox that stuff. Facebook. Oh, I guess I'll close this thing out. Are you living your Christian life committed? Are you committed to him today? That's really my question. Are you just going through the motions? Fellas, do you think we can hold on to that woman if we're just going through the motions? Some of y'all done had to step your game up. Ladies, you think you're going to keep him interested by just going through the motions? Somebody said, Lord, why did he go there? Because that's what you're familiar with. Somebody ain't familiar with these scriptures, so I got to go to the streets so you understand what I'm saying. You know, on my job, we do something called pay for performance. Your raise ain't based on what you're supposed to do. Ooh. You don't get a raise for doing what you're supposed to do. Why you expect for God to increase my territory when you're not going above and beyond doing nothing for him? You won't even come to church, but you want to ask the Lord for all this stuff. You won't even bend your knees and pray. But you want to ask the Lord for all this. Lord, I want a house. Lord, I want a car. Lord, I want a husband. Send me the right man. Lord, if I win a lot. Really? Woo. But it's about what you do above and beyond. I'm not saying you know, it's not let's make a deal. But you got so comfortable with your position. And when you get comfortable, you know what? That's when Satan come and push you over. Because you know, men should always pray. We ought to always be watching. But my college coach used to teach us, we played basketball. He said, keep your head on a swivel. Keep your head on a swivel while you're on the court because somebody might knock your head off. Amen? When we get comfortable, Tony, it might be somebody, Tony, you awesome on that organ, brother. But guess what? Don't casually do it. Because it might be somebody ready to kick you right off of it and say, I can do it just as good or better than Tony, boss. I know they call him the boss. Is that what you do for the Lord? But you know, you get better and better in what you do, Tony. Amen. Do y'all agree? Okay. But what is it that you have? What is it that you're doing for Christ, that you do for Christ, that you're getting better at? If you're not getting better at something, guess what? You're getting pretty comfortable. And guess what? You're casually going through the motions. Does that make sense this morning? It's about commitment. It's about faith. Hey, man, this is a faith walk. It don't make sense. I know I put some of y'all to sleep today. I'll hoop and holler at you next week after the 4th of July. But I really want you to think about your commitment to Christ and where you are with him, because that's what it's all about. Our very own Minister Smith endured to the end. And when I said if it wasn't for Minister Smith, some of us would have left earlier than we did. And guess what? The very person that we were there for raised her hand and said, you encouraged her. And that was her baby. And I thank God for you. And Molly, that thing would not have been what it had it not been for you going above and beyond. Hallelujah, somebody. I didn't know you were going to be here today. And you know, and Minister Smith said something else. She said, Pastor, I don't mind walking. He said, you see all those bags all the way around this track? 400-meter track. 400-meter track. 400-meter track. And every step, I'm not talking big step, I'm talking about a little baby step. Every baby step, there was a bag that represented somebody that had cancer. We had many of them said, in memory of. I didn't have one family member on a sack out there. So I got to thank God this morning. And you know what? I can't be comfortable in what I'm doing for him because he's blessed me too much. Orange Chapel, whether you're a member here or not, I challenge you today to be more committed to him. Go the extra mile. Don't be a casual Christian. Be one of those crazy Christians that every time people say, oh, they look like Jesus. They acting just like Jesus. Because if that's our Father, there's something about us that ought to be like him. There's something about you. At some point in your life, somebody say, man, Eli, man, that remind me of Jesus when that man did. You know, Christ is serious about saving us. He's so serious about that. He's so serious that he gave his life. Amen. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much he loves us. Amen. And you know what? I encourage every last one of you and myself. Amen. I understand that we're going to make mistakes. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I challenge you to do better and be better. Let's try to be that A-plus Christian. Let's try to be that A-plus church where people say, you know what? That is an awesome place where they are focused on Christ. They're not worried about this and worried about that. Amen. They want people to be saved. And they're working. And I thank God that he's put us in positions here lately where we can be a light, amen, to other people. And you know what, Orange Chapel, I want to just give you a hand clap this morning because there are some people that are here this morning because of what they saw on Friday night. Amen. And we didn't even do as good as we should have done because the whole church should have been there till 7 o'clock Saturday morning. But I said, my baby got to go to bed. And that's God gave me this message. Because he whooped me. He said, son, you should have been out there. But, you know, you just showed up, you know, and you know, everybody see you and do your little thing, your little OC thing, and then you got up out of there. He said, but I was there all night long. He said, matter of fact, it's because of me that your name wasn't on a sack. It's because of me that you're not taking radiation treatments, chemo. Hallelujah, somebody. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. When the Lord's done, I'm done. Let's do and be better. Amen? Amen. God is so awesome. Let's give him another hand clap. If there's anyone here today that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus is the most amazing person that ever lived. He's God. He's God's only begotten Son. He's the Spirit. He's the Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and He's all of that. Jesus Christ, because we were so messed up, had to come to this world and give His life, had to shed His blood for the remission of our sins. There's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. God sent a perfect sacrifice in Jesus Christ because Ron couldn't do it, Ray couldn't do it, Tiffany couldn't do it, Sister Hicks couldn't do it, because none of us are worthy. But Christ did it for us. And when He shed His blood, when He died on that old rugged cross, and He